You're listening to IdgitCast, Season 3, Episode 15, Time is on My Side. Dean goes searching for Bella and the cult, while Sam battles an immortal doctor, hoping to cheat his brother's impending death.
Cast. I am one of your newbies, Paul Mackey, and I am here in my living room with my lovely wife, Darcy.
Change of venue. Change of venue.
And we're also on the line with down in Texas, John Pavlich.
If you have an opinion about anything ever, never share it with anyone.
Yay!
Yay! I try not to.
And we also have over in Louisiana our good friend Yvette.
I don't even have opinions.
And John's our good friend, too. Okay.
Well, this podcast will be quick, then.
We'll just say what happened and then be like, let's talk about something else now.
Dogs are actually nice. Let's talk about dogs are nice.
That's an opinion.
Hey, dogs exist.
Hey, we've only had our podcast pooped on by one person, so, that I know of.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember her.
Not too pooped on, either. Just to kind of... don't do this podcast like an intro cast, please.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, I'm fine to talk about other stuff. If y'all don't want to talk about this, no worries.
Translation, yeah. Please, can we talk about something else?
Anything else, really.
Well, this one wasn't as bad as previous.
I think that the problem for me is that I haven't watched it in a very long time. We had a bit of a little hiatus, and I forgot a lot about the show. And then I started watching it, and I was like, oh, that's right.
Well, see, there's this one guy. His name is Bobby.
He was in this episode, see?
We didn't...
No, he's not.
Okay.
We didn't take our hiatus at the same time as the rest of the world did, though. The rest of the world had to wait longer than we did.
Did they?
Between Ghostfacers and the previous episode.
Did they?
Man, yeah, I just feel so sorry for people in the past. How like you'd have to wait between episodes.
They went 3 months waiting between episodes, and then they had to sit through, well, Ghostbusters not so much, but then they had to sit through Long Distance Call.
Oh, that was their comeback?
No, Ghostbusters was their comeback, and then Long Distance.
Okay. Oh, and then they're like,
yeah, after Ghostbusters was just like, hey, cool standalone. Then Long Distance Call was like, hey, another standalone, which was for us too. Exactly. Yeah. What happened? But we're back on track a little bit. We just watched it last night for the very first time, so it's Supernatural Wiki Week.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay, Wiki!
But I think the next one will actually be an actual summary, if all goes well, because I'll have lots of time after, because we're going to watch it, spoiler alert, tonight.
Yay!
As a Nubentary, and then I'll be able to have plenty of time until the next recording to create something.
Create.
Yes. So, Supernatural Wiki, the episode starts with a young man who is abducted late at night, and I think that was the guy that was kidnapped, the plastic surgeon, or was it his buddy?
The plastic surgeon got kidnapped.
Okay. All right. I don't know if it was important. I guess he was a real person who really got his liver taken out. Really.
Sliver of the liver.
Yummy. Not for yummy, though.
Okay. Not for yummy. You ever eat liver? Did your mom ever make you eat that?
No, I love liver.
Do you?
Yeah, chicken livers, woof, delicious.
Chicken livers, yes, I can do that. But like beef liver, like
I don't know if I've done liver. I know I've done, I've eaten pate. That's a different kind
of
liver.
That doesn't count.
I think I've not had chicken liver. I think I had beef liver once, and it was too... I don't know what the word is. Like,
dry?
Well, the flavor was just too strong. Like it was.
It is very strong. Yeah. I like what's it like? Offal, organ meat. I tend to like that a lot anyway. Like I've eaten heart.
Yeah.
And
like I think because like people are like that with, you know, lamb. Like, I'm not crazy about lamb because the same thing. We're like, something about the meat. Like, it's just the taste of it's just too, you know, it's just too meaty.
It's almost gamey, like it's, but not.
And that, yeah, and that's
it is gamey. But yeah. I also like wild game. Like, if anybody wants to kill some deer or boar, I'm totally there.
Ooh, that sounds.
I will
I've
be done.
I've never had boar. I bet I would be good though.
It's so delicious.
Now, I mean, I you know, this may sound terrible, but I mean, it's like I like veal. You know,
veal's delicious. That's not terrible.
Well, it's just, you know, because of what it is. Like, people are like, "Oh God, you monster!"
I mean, well, it's still, kill it. Like, does it matter? If you kill it when it's a baby, or you kill it when it's an adult? Like, it's still a cow. Still meat.
Look, it's eaten.
Yeah. It was funny. I took a Lyft ride the other day. Because my Uber app stopped working, and the woman
first
who
world
picked
problems.
Well,
sorry,
don't laugh at him.
I can't get around otherwise. So
no,
yeah,
I know. I'm sorry. I don't need to tease you.
No, it's fine. But the point is, like, the woman who picked me up, we were talking. And she asked me about, because like there are these giant grain silos. There's like this like grain mill like over by where I live. And she was asking me about that. And I was and she was like, they don't grow anything out here. You know, there's all these fields and they don't grow anything. I said, well, yeah, they use them for cattle. Like, people rent out their land for cattle barons. Like, they bring in cattle, you know, they let the cattle graze. And they don't really have to do anything. And then they come pick the cattle up and take them to slaughter. And she was like, oh, that's, well, that it, like, I don't eat meat. And I was like, ah, okay. But it was like, you understand you're in Texas, right? Like, this is going to come up, you know?
That would be hard to be a vegetarian there.
There are some carnivores in Texas.
There's a couple at least.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, just because that lady doesn't eat meat, but you know, different strokes.
Oh no, that's it just right. like you know, it just like it doesn't bother me at all. Like, hell, I dated a girl for like almost 3 years who was a vegan, and I was she was trying to quit smoking, and so she wanted me to give up meat, you know, and she would quit smoking, and so we made that deal. I was like, yeah, okay. And I think like I did it for like 2 weeks. And I found I didn't really miss meat that much. I mean, meat is like hard to digest anyway. So, you know, and you're always having to pick your teeth and everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, it wasn't a big deal for me. My parents were freaking out because, like, you sure don't want any of the steak? Are you sure you're getting enough? You sure you're getting enough food? And I'm like, yeah, really, I'm fine. You know, there's other things to eat besides cow. And she, you know, couldn't hack it. Like, she ended up smoking. She's like, you can eat meat again. Like, it's okay. I'm fine. No, please eat meat so I can continue smoking.
I became a vegetarian when I was 12. Uh-huh. And I stayed a vegetarian until I was 27. I was actually a vegetarian for a super long time, and then I stopped because I just stopped caring about the things that I sort of had cared about, like the reasons that I was a vegetarian. I started realizing it was a bit hypocritical because all factory farming is messed up, whether we're talking about like migrant farm workers and the way they're treated or
free-range, you know, animals or whatever.
Strawberries versus chickens. It's all the same.
Exactly. Right. It's all, somebody's getting messed over.
Yeah.
And I just am far less political now than I was when I was younger, but,
yeah, a lot of times when you're younger, you can sort of afford to, you know, to have those restrictions for yourself, or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I didn't miss eating meat at all when I was like, you know, a teenager, early 20s. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, if I don't eat it, I don't eat it. It's not a big deal. But also, like, it's made me very like objective about it. Like, if somebody wanted to feed me like a cute fuzzy bunny that I had just been playing with, I'd totally eat it. You know, like, whatever. Like,
hold still. Let me get a fork.
Yeah, I'm just like, cute.
Get
let me gnaw off that little tail.
I could just eat you up. No, really.
Yeah, we've had guinea pig. That's
We've had guinea pig that was weeping not too long before we ate it. I heard him clubbing him.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. I I think this woman's her whole thing was that, like, you know, she was like, you know, because like they could, you know, we wouldn't want that them to do that to us. They could turn around and, you know, like eat us. And I didn't really, you know, I was just like, yeah, right on. But I didn't have the heart to like explain the food chain to her. So, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go further than two sentences now.
Yes, please.
See, I knew we could talk about something else.
That's right. Way to go with the liver segue.
Sam and Dean are looking for leads on Bello when Sam comes across a newspaper article derailing the detailing the incident involving said young man. That was an accident. They suspect zombies, but when they arrive at the hospital in Erie, Pennsylvania, they find the man's liver was removed surgically. That coroner was awesome. I liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Yvette, were you hoping for zombies?
I wasn't thinking about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I wasn't hoping for anything. I was just...
Doctor was kind of a zombie.
Kind of. I don't know. He was him, you know.
we'll get to him.
We'll get to him.
They talk to another patient who had his kidneys removed. Sam finds out one of the victims was sewn up using silk threads while maggots were used to prevent infection.
Oh, you know what's so funny? Is while I was watching this episode earlier and there was like the whole thing with the maggots and like they even showed maggots and stuff, like it didn't even hit me. And I like looked down and I realized like I'm eating a bowl of rice right now.
Hey!
Like it never occurred to me. I never made the connection. You know, like it wasn't rice? it wasn't like a premeditated thing. It just, oh, that's funny.
I have this really awesome sweater that it has this stitch on it that looks like maggots. And I don't know. I took a picture of it once. I was like, hey, everybody, what does this look like? And everybody's like, ew, maggots. So it totally looks like that. And it was like a really high-end sweater. You know, it's a really nice wool, and then it has like some little sequins on it too. So every once in a while, I break out the maggot sweater if I'm in a bad mood when to work.
Fancy maggots.
That's right. And everybody just kind of looks at you like, is that, oh, no, that can't be that. Yeah. So it's really fun. It's really fun to wear.
I'm crawling with maggots. John's journal says that he tells the story of a 19th century surgeon called Doc Benton, who found a way to live forever by replacing organs the moment they stopped working. Even though John had cut out the doc's heart, it seems Doc Benton has survived and is again abducting healthy young people to stay immortal.
Pardon me. Okay. Hmm? Now, I'm trying to stay in the world, but the whole time I'm like, so if he has to put a heart in himself, boy, he's got to be pretty damn fast.
He's got some extra vigorous bits that are helping him keep going. Because obviously,
what? I didn't understand.
Well, like, he's obviously, if John removed the heart and he was able to play dead long enough for John to think, oh, okay, I did it.
But the thing is, why? Never mind. It was a jump.
Yeah.
And it was a hard jump for me.
Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with supernatural things here, so you could sort of easily hand wave it away of like, you know, he was auxiliary backup, you know, like he wasn't like it's not
right.
It's not like
science, and it wasn't because.
Yeah, it's not just really advanced science. It's definitely something mystical.
Yeah, there's something else there. I was like, that's not science.
Because I mean, for one thing, like later on in the episode, he, like. Beats the crap out of Dean and like sends him flying across a room, and it's like, okay, that's not
he's not
he's not like a normal human guy.
Well, he took the super soldier serum, and part of that
he's Captain America.
He just stole his arms, you know.
Oh, just Cap's arms.
He's got some big guns,
you know.
So, I like those guns. I'll take those.
Right.
But then, how would he put them on himself?
One arm.
Yeah,
at a time.
I always thought like
he puts his arms on one leg, one arm at a time, just like anybody else.
That's funny.
So that happened. I was thinking like, well, see, now I totally forgot what I was thinking because
I was funny.
Had to interject.
Yeah. I had to go get funny.
Paul made a funny.
It was a really good funny.
Yeah. Oh, I remembered now. Yeah, I was thinking it's like, couldn't you just like, you know, cut off his hands and then he wouldn't be able to
put him back on his feet or something.
But, well, I guess.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah.
I just,
I mean, if he can replace his own heart, I mean.
Yeah. And then that's the other thing. I don't know. You know, we're talking about stitching stuff up.
How do you see?
You have to be able to see. I mean, a lot of it, yes, it is feel. But how would you, like, get all the arteries lined up?
He's just really good at that. He's just really good at it.
Okay.
Mirrors, I guess?
It was a big jump for me.
Right.
And no, I thought the whole thing was, like, ridiculous. Like, I was like, this is so dumb.
Maybe he just has to close up the outside. The inside just takes care of itself, just automatically, magically, as a...
It didn't look like that on his on his leather face.
Well, that's what I said. He had to stitch up the outside.
Just the outside.
Just the outside. The
because
inside.
Because the air or something.
Right. Meanwhile, Bobby calls Dean and lets him know that was Bobby calling on the phone. He's got a trucker hat.
Yes.
On.
So he's sort of in this episode.
Oh boy. Yeah. All right, Paul.
Right. He
calls Dean and lets him know that Bella was spotted in Canaan, Vermont, and that Rufus Turner, a retired hunter, was the one who informed him. Now, all those times that they were talking about Mr. X on Intro to X and calling him Rufus, I didn't quite ever put either I never put together the connection or I forgot it handily. I never got it.
Like, I was like, why are they calling that man Rufus? Like, that's Mr. X. He's clearly
Captain Fuller.
Yeah. I love it when Paul threw out that reference in the chat.
What is that reference? I don't even get
that's
it.
That's a reference to the original 21 Jump Street. He was the captain on that show.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that show.
Yeah.
I was a big fan.
That's where Johnny Depp got his start in TV.
Yes.
When did that come on? Like early 80s?
It was late 80s. It was late 80s. It was one of the early Fox shows.
Yep.
Along with Married with Children and eventually The Simpsons. It was pre-Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I definitely remember Married with Children. Like, I loved that show, and I was too young to even understand what the hell was going on. I think just like Peggy's outfits.
I just like
to watch it now and just be like, oh, that's funny.
I feel like if I watched it now, I would just think it was stupid. But like when I was, you know, like 8 or whatever, I was like, ha 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 ha.
That's what I liked about that show, is like it was stupid, but in a really clever way.
Dean wants to leave for Vermont, but Sam is adamant on staying in Erie. Sam then reveals his whole purpose for coming to Erie was to try to find a way for Dean to live forever so he won't ever have to die and go to hell.
I didn't even know there was an Erie, Pennsylvania. It's like I knew there was an Erie, Indiana, but that was like, you know, that was all I knew.
Yeah. It's a pretty big city.
Yeah.
Yeah. After an argument during
a canal and a lake.
Hmm?
There's also a canal and
there's
a
also
lake.
A canal. There's also a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not the biggest lake. It's one of the smaller ones.
Tiny.
There's a really big one.
Minuscule.
It's a really big one called Superior.
Well, because I know there's Lake Erie. Is that where it's?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I never knew that. I always thought for some reason it was Indiana because that was the only Erie city that I knew of.
Y'all remember that show Erie, Indiana?
Hell yeah!
It was awesome.
Love that show.
I loved it. I loved that show. Yeah.
So weird.
All right, so Sam is staying in one place. Dean's going elsewhere.
After an argument, makes it clear that Dean thinks the Colt is their only way of retrieving the contract. Dean leaves, and Sam heads for the woods to find Doc Benton. In an isolated cabin, he finds not only the dead body of a jogger who had his heart removed somewhere off screen from this capture from this summary, but also a young woman missing a chunk of skin on her arm who is still alive. Sam manages to escape together with the young woman running over Doc Benton with his rental Jeep.
I like that the killer is not gender specific. He's very progressive in that way.
Sure. He'll take bits from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Billy Drago, by the way.
Hell yeah, it is.
So I was super excited to see Billy Drago. Not necessarily for him, but I was like in love with his son. Like, that was one of my very first crushes ever. Back in Northern Exposure days, I love him.
Oh, I didn't know he had an actor son.
Yes, it was the kid that played Ed Chigliak.
Oh,
I've never seen it. And I've never watched that show.
Okay, I'm gonna put a picture in the.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, no.
It really looks like him too. It's just like a young, like hot version. Although now he's not young anymore and not hot anymore either.
Ageist.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I just remember before I ever knew his name, him from The Untouchables, mm-hmm. Billy Drago.
Yeah, don't forget Briscoe County Jr.
I haven't ever watched that.
Oh, Paul.
Me neither.
Oh, you guys.
I know we have friends.
What is that?
I know we have friends who do intro casts for it, but an intro cast for it. But I have not actually watched it myself.
For anyone who doesn't know, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. was a Western TV show on Fox in the mid-90s starring Bruce Campbell. Yes. And Billy Drago played the bad guy. And it's so much fun.
I always like him. I liked his role on X-Files, too.
Microwave
because he says popping corn, and I say it all the time. I was like, I want to make some popping corn tonight.
Okay, yeah. I have seen him before.
Yeah, I'll try to pop that up for Darcy.
I have pictures all over my bedroom.
Ed from Northern Exposure.
Oh, okay, now I'm better.
Yeah, I've seen him in other stuff, and I don't think I ever made the connection that he was Billy Drago's son.
I had no idea.
Which is really stupid because he looks just like him.
Okay. He looks just like him. And actually, I'm looking at pictures of him now, and he's still pretty hot. So, okay, just in case you're wondering, Darren Burroughs, you can still hit it. So, hit me up.
Dean, in the meantime, finds Rufus and bribes him with a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue, which the Supernatural Wiki handily tells you that it costs about $160 a bottle.
God!
My grandpa used to drink that crap.
Johnny Walker Blue? Really? All right.
Did you ever try it?
No! Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I feel like you should have snuck a little bit.
Well, I probably should have, but he might have killed me. So...
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, best you didn't.
Yeah.
I do not do well with whiskey, scotches, and bourbons. I haven't really tried tasting them for tasting purposes, really.
If I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink a whiskey.
I usually
just get Jameson.
I don't really do, I've said this before, I don't care for the taste of alcohol.
That's a factor.
It is.
Yeah. So typically what I'll do is I'll just, just give me something that tastes like candy, like a Mike's Hard Lemonade or something. Like that's about as far as I'll go, or like a hard cider,
Right.
Have you tried Not Your Father's Root Beer yet?
No. Like it's I discovered it like a few weeks ago in Walmart. They were advertising it and it was right there when I walked in. And I almost grabbed it just out of curiosity, but I think it was it was like expensive, and I was I don't want to bother.
Definitely, if you're ever feeling the need for just like some alcohol, and I know you're, since you don't like the taste of it, it's this stuff, either the root beer or the ginger ale. It really just tastes like root beer or ginger ale.
Okay.
Ooh, I want the ginger ale.
And it's like 5% alcohol by volume. Like it's kind of.
Yeah. See, that's usually my cutoff point. Like, because most of the stuff that I do sample is, those malt beverages that are 5% at the most.
Yeah, I highly recommend. It's really good.
All right.
I'll try that.
Maybe not next time I'm paid.
Yeah, give it a try. It's good. Alcohol cast.
Rufus tells him the hotel Bella is staying at and presents Dean with Bella's criminal record. Dean then confronts Bella at the hotel. She tells him the colt is gone and is on a plane with her buyer. Actually, she says it's long gone and that he would need a plane to find it, I think.
Okay, so her parents are,
dead.
They're dead, I get that.
Yeah.
They're on her record as she did that, or they're on her record as it happened?
I think they're probably on the record as it happened, but everybody that is anybody in the supernatural world knows.
Okay.
Yeah, like Dean was able to, piece together, just off of that information, oh yeah, she killed them.
Yeah.
I was confused, though. Is this where, they have that scene that shows her parents, I guess, or whoever that guy was, the door?
Yeah,
I think that was Daddy, and I think he wasn't very nice.
I think he was a little touchy-feely, too touchy-feely Daddy.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too, but then, later, they're like, well, you had a demon do your dirty work for you, and then I was like, wait, maybe she had just summoned that person, and that was a demon?
No, the demon was
maybe it was
girl.
The dad.
Yeah.
Okay, I was very confused, but not by that scene. By that scene, I was like, okay, I get it. And then later when they talk about the demon, I'm like, wait, what? But okay, I think I got it.
Yeah, there was a brief flashback later in the episode where she's on a swing set and there's a little girl who's I can take care of this problem for you. And then her eyes are red for a brief second and okay.
And that's supposed
to... I remember her talking to the little girl, but I didn't get it. I was just who's this? What's happening here?
And was that supposed to be Lilith herself?
Yeah. It was.
Oh.
Because that's
the person. While he enter into a demon contract as a little kid?
Right.
Okay.
He prepares to shoot her and tells her that he knows that when she was 14, she had the brake lines cut on her parents' car, an action that resulted in them being killed. Did they say brake lines in the car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might have missed that part. Bella flashes back to when she was 14 and remembers when her father used to come into her room and close the door, hinting that he was abusing her. Well, we already covered that.
Before, I thought that she looked way younger than 14.
Well, there's a history. That was just, that was some time in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Before Dean pulls the trigger, he makes a discovery. Bella has, well, this isn't revealed at that point, but Bella has devil's shoestring placed above her door, indicating that she, too, is trying to keep out the devil. After Dean leaves without hurting her, Bella calls someone and lets them know that Dean was in her room and she knows where the brothers are because she lifted a receipt from the Erie Hotel from Dean's pocket. Dean calls Sam from the road. Sam tells him not only what happened, or tells him that what happened... Okay, reading is not good.
Reading is hard.
Sam tells him what happened and that he has the doc's journal. From that journal, he learned that only science and not magic is responsible for the doc's immortality. Uh-huh. Sure.
Sure, only science.
Only science. Doc then abducts Sam using chloroform or ether or something in a rag. Sam wakes up tied down to a table at the doc's cabin with Doc Benton standing over him trying to remove his eyes. That eye scoop, is that... Yeah, that's got to be something that's not quite exactly... That might be good for removing a diseased eye, but I don't know about reattaching one.
It looked like a melon baller.
Yeah, it did.
It was totally a melon baller, and I felt like he was just going to, like, plop it into his face. You know, just, like, smush it in there. That would be
tap,
enough.
Tap, tap, tap. There we go. We're good to go.
Little Martha Stewart. It's all in the flick of the wrist.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Then, Dean shoots the doctor before he can operate. Doc Benton goes after Dean, and Dean stabs him with a knife dipped in chloroform to knock him out. They strap Doc Benton to his own table. The doc comes to and tries to bargain with him, telling the brothers he is their only hope to get Dean out of his deal. Dean doesn't want to live his life the way Doc Benton does, and who can blame him?
Yeah, nobody wants that, right?
He wouldn't look very nice anymore. I probably wouldn't watch.
Well, it would take a while. Like Sam said, after a while, he was like, you know, might need a new spleen after 70 years or so, but...
I wouldn't watch.
You wouldn't have to stitch your face together like that right away.
Mm. Well, plus, like, what you would have to do to get it, like, it was just like, no.
Yeah, it seems pretty unpleasant.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you were living for that long, like, you would just outlive everybody, including your brother. And I know, you know, Sam was like, well, I'll do it too then. It's like, dude, it's just, you just don't care anymore. You're just, you know, yeah, just screw everybody else. Like, as long as we get to stay alive, it's all
just
good.
Just all these people willing to, like, pop out other people's eyes with melon ballers. And
also, there's also the whole, sure, this guy's a supernaturally gifted surgeon. You're just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you could live forever, you're not going to be able to do all those magical demon surgeries.
That's right, especially the one where you have to sew one arm on at a time. I mean, I guess you can cut your arm off, because the guy did that when he got his arm cut on.
Yeah, Mr. 127 Hours.
What? Yeah.
I mean, you're a good seamstress, Darcy. You could do this,
you know,
right?
I'm thinking about it. I probably could. You'd have to, like, you know, use a really long thread and, like, go through, you know.
Hold the needle between your teeth.
Yeah, and then you'd have to, like, yank it up, and then, yeah, it totally could work. It's actually how you sew dolls' arms on. Did you know that?
Excuse me?
How to sew dolls. Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
It's creepy how you sew dolls.
What, onto people?
Well,
I've seen
only certain people, John.
I've seen Nightmare Before Christmas, and they sew a doll's arm on that, sort of.
Yeah, it's the same thing, like, right? Yeah, same thing.
Good.
That's for real. That's how you really do that.
Oh, Nightmare Before Christmas is for real. I realize
it
that.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
What I always suspected. Watching a documentary, you guys.
They decide to bury Doc Benton alive, chained in an old refrigerator. Because it's better for television than cutting him into little pieces and putting the pieces everywhere.
Well, I kind of liked that idea. Put him in the refrigerator and bury him.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good plan.
Beats the bottom of the ocean. Something. Whatever I mean by that. I don't know.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
At the hotel, Bella enters the Winchester's room and shoots at the beds, only to find the brothers are already gone and placed blow-up dolls in their beds to fool Bella.
That was clever. I liked that.
Slowly deflating.
Oh, she was so cute.
The phone rings, and it's Dean. He tells her that he knew she stole the receipt from his pocket, and the twig above her door was Devil's shoestring that used to keep hellhounds at bay. He concluded that she had also made a deal with the demon, and the demon killed her parents for her. Bella reveals that she used the cult to bargain with the demon that holds her contract, but it wasn't enough. The demon wanted her to kill Sam, too. Dean then states that they could have helped her if she'd only been honest with them. She reveals that Lilith holds her contract, and Dean's as well, and that Lilith is the one who wants Sam dead. When he asks her why she's telling him all that, she replies that she wants them to kill Lilith first. It ends with Dean hanging up on Bella and the clock striking midnight. At the same time, hellhounds can be heard howling nearby. And cliffhangered.
So she made a deal with Bella, and maybe they covered this and I just didn't notice. Do we know what her deal was? Like, she's still alive,
Her deal was, I want you to kill my parents so I can inherit a bunch of money.
Right, but what did she give the demon?
Well, the right to her soul.
Her soul, like in 10 years.
Oh, but it's not like a year tenure, like with Dean. Like, her soul is just going whenever she dies.
No,
like
it's 10, it was 10
it
years.
It was 10 years.
That's the part I didn't catch. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in that quick little flashback with Lilith as a little girl on the swing set, and that's when Bella was, you know, they got an actress who was 14 and, you know, sat her down and so she was like, she's like, I can take care of that for you and it won't cost you anything.
For 10 years.
Yeah, for 10 years, yeah.
Okay, that's a better deal than a year. All right.
Yeah, well, Dean was originally going to get 10, and then they got bargained down to 1. Or no, Dean was trying to negotiate for 10, and bargained it down to 1 until the demon finally said, okay, that works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, I should probably tell you, Bella's dead.
The figure.
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the
just in case you weren't sure, you know, because we didn't actually see it happen. It was like, yeah, no, she's done. She's like, bye, Bella.
I mean, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I didn't picture that the guys were so close to they'd be pulling up in front trying to fend off hellhounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's fine.
Yeah.
She's like, see ya, I'm off to The Walking Dead.
Yeah, so, good for her. She got a better role.
So maybe.
I don't know what happened. But
do we assume that Lilith kept the colt when Bella was trying to use it for a bargain?
Sure.
I didn't assume that.
You assume the cult's still drifting around in
free
play?
No, I assume she really has it, that Lilith has it.
I don't know. I don't think she does. We'll see who's right.
Well, every time that I think the cult is completely written off and done, it comes back.
It shows up.
I'll tell you,
I legitimately actually don't remember, so...
That's probably
you know,
not a good sign for it.
your guess is as good as mine. Like I was like, what did happen to the cult? Where is it? I actually can't remember.
which isn't a great sign that season 4 has lots of cult killings. Probably. It's probably not a great sign for that, but we'll see. Hey, that's the end of the episode. Does one of these boys win it? Sam versus Dean, as the tradition supposedly goes.
Damn, I say neither. I don't, like, this is pretty bleak. Like, we don't really know.
Yeah, we're grinding down toward the end here, so.
I can go with a neither on this.
Yeah, I'm going to say neither.
Darcy, how do you feel?
Can't be judged in solely on someone's butt either.
Come on, Paul.
I think it could be.
You know, I'm thinking. I'm legitimately thinking about, you know, what did Sam do in this episode? Well, he tried to, you know, stick with the plan. Let's take care of this guy, and then we'll go after Bella. And then Dean was like, no, I'm going after Bella. He made a really quick decision, which was a trap. I'm going to give it to Sam. I am. And not just because of his butt, because I really don't care about his butt.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tie, because neither of them win.
Neither. It's a neither. All right, we want to go through a couple of quotes. I've got a couple here. I think Darcy might want to have the very first because I know that she...
Where is it?
It's right there.
Where is it? Oh, okay. have to get over close.
Sure, sorry.
I have the vision thing.
Yes.
Okay. Dean says, no. What you're trying to do is chase Slicey McHackie here and kill him? Slicey McHackie.
We got further into the episode. And she was like, "I got to write that down. What was it? Slicey something." So she went to her phone and went to Google and didn't even she allowed autocomplete to do it for her because she just typed in Slicey and the first thing that came up with it was Slicey McHackie.
Yeah,
then she just stopped.
I know. I was like, "Oh, it's Slicey."
I love it when that happens.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
When I go to like look up something on Google, and it's usually a pop culture reference, and I just type like a few letters, and it's like, and boom, it's right there. It's like, oh, you know me so well.
Oh, Google, what did we ever do without you?
God, I can't even imagine living in those horrible like caveman days.
I know, it was phone books. Remember phone books? We got one in the mail, and my kids are like, "What's that?" I'm like, "Step stool."
Oh, you know what? Like, we still get phone books like thrown into the yard. So like, anytime like somebody comes to pick me up, or I go to, like I'm waiting for like a ride, I go out into the driveway, and I always kind of stumble, almost trip over the damn thing because there's like a giant phone book like sitting in the middle of the driveway.
What's it doing there? Been.
Johnny, what, the next quote?
Sure.
Okay.
Hiya, Doc. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
That was good.
Dean says, so you're right where we are. Rufus says, nope, do her ear. Sorry? You do her ear. Hey, man, I'll try anything once, but I don't know. That sounds kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm satisfied. I had a couple others that I could use, but...
Yeah, we're good.
But I'm satisfied.
We did our job. Mischief managed.
Meh. We could go to feedback. I've got a long one and a short one.
And they're both. Do both.
Do both. All right, I'll do both. Here's Allie.
Hi, Allie.
Allie Jones saying, hey, Idgits, sorry it's been so long. I'll make up for it with this lengthy email. Sorry, not sorry. I missed so many of my favorite episodes. Bad Day at Blackrock, love it. Mystery Spot, oh so good. Ghost Facers, one of my absolute top episodes. Speaking of which, I have a track to send you at some point. I'm going to wait for the right moment. Mwahahaha. Does that mean there's more Ghost Facers in our future? I don't know. She didn't say that. Well, this has been an interesting abbreviated season. Besides the fact Ghost Facers is so much fun, it definitely hits a wall after it comes back from hiatus. This was the first year I religiously watched along while it was airing. Not getting back to the season arc was a little frustrating, but not nearly as frustrating as how long it was off the air, so the fans were just glad to have the Winchesters back on their screens. This episode brings it all back to Dean and his deal. It starts that way, and then it seems like they're going to get distracted by zombies. Dean loves hunting zombies. Turns out, Sam was chasing a solution for Dean, but Dean prefers the way of the cult. The brothers split up, which I feel really needs to happen from time to time. We find out about Bella and then say bye-bye. We get that great scene with crotchety former hunter Rufus. And then they meet up again, and this episode is everything I love about Supernatural that isn't meta-hilarity. The philosophical differences between Sam and Dean are on full display. I love the way it ties into the episode, how the Monster of the Week plays on the season arc and the show's mission statement. This doctor is not a supernatural monster, which doesn't happen often on a show called Supernatural, obviously. But... he is still pretty horrible and creepy, and according to Sam, he could be useful. Sam is all nuance and shades of gray. Dean draws a hard line. Evil is as evil does. Both have flaws in their thinking, and both make good points. Dean wins this episode, especially when he dips the knife in chloroform, because it's his life and he does not want to live on borrowed body parts. But the beauty of this show is the push and pull. Sometimes, in some situations, seeing things boiled down to simplistic parts just isn't right. Dean can be a full-on jerk because of this, just like my ex. In other situations, it makes you a hero. Here, Dean is honorable, and Sam's morals are questionable. In episodes like Bloodlust, Sam's flexibility makes him able to see there are vampires that should be granted mercy, and at the end, Dean gives in to his way of thinking. Anyway, this ep, the Doc gets buried alive, a fear so common they made a whole movie with Ryan Reynolds about it. And that's that? The standalone elements seem like they'd be really scary if it wasn't all stuffed in with everything else. Like, there's a lot going on in this, such as Bella conveniently having also made a deal with a demon, maybe even the demon, that expires at that very night, and we get everything we need to go into the season finale. Season 4 is so close, guys. Whee! Also, the bit players in this episode are really good actors, even in the cold open.
He just waved his arms, guys, I have to let you know.
I kind of did excited Dawn hands.
Yeah, you did.
All right. Also, the bit players in this episode are really good actors, even in the cold open. That's like a minute of screen time, except the guy who got his heart cut out, although that might just be the bad ADR. Happy hunting, Allie.
Thanks, Allie.
Yay.
And then Heidi says, hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
This episode makes me want a supernatural Walking Dead crossover just because they were talking zombies so much. Dean can eat no matter what. At least he doesn't have the problem of losing his appetite when watching gross TV shows like I do. The scene where the guy's heart is removed was completely believable. I think there might be an error here. Because she goes on to say, after saying it was completely believable, she says, he wasn't screaming nearly enough, and I'm pretty sure you'd pass out when someone cracked open your chest.
Mm.
Neither Sam or Dean were really thinking through their plans in this episode. Dean going after Bella was a very flawed plan to begin with, and it led nowhere. Sam's plan wasn't much better. You make Dean immortal, but that just leads to a lot more issues. The doctor was left with a fitting end, or no end as the case may be, but very disturbing. Kind of like locking a vampire in a box and dropping him into an ocean or a lake. Spoilers for Vampire Diaries, because you know it was the original idea. So this Lilith that we've been hearing about holds the contract on all deals made with demons? She's like the demon pawnbroker or something? Do you think Bella is a goner? Well, John kind of told us already. Mm-hmm. Until next time, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Yay.
Thanks, Heidi.
That is feedback.
Yeah.
Hey.
So we should rate this thing.
Let's do it.
I'll go. This episode's fine. You know, but it feels like we're just sort of padding things out until we get to the end. Really, the thing that stands out for me and makes the episode worth watching is Billy Drago.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just, you know, it's a really fun performance. And I also like the scene with the guy getting his heart removed. Like, that's really intense, and I like the way they use the heart monitor, the little wristwatch. Yeah. I like all that. That's really well done, I thought. So I'm going to give this one 7 out of 10 body parts.
All right.
Okay.
I'll go.
All right.
Boy. I'm having a hard time getting back on board.
Okay.
I'll be 100% honest with that. This one was definitely better than the last one, but it wasn't a whole lot better for me. I'm glad that we, you know, moved along the major season plot arc. But I felt, I don't know, this one just, there were so many questions left unanswered, and it was just kind of, I don't know, some really wibbly wobbly science that wasn't working for me. So I am going to give it 5 slicey McHackies.
All right. I thought that it, like John said, I mean, I haven't seen the second part yet, but it does feel a lot more like it's doing setup. It's not a really good two-parter where it's like, this was a complete story that also, you know, tails into a second part, and you know, you can see how it's all going to go together and things like this. This is more like, here's all the elements you're going to need to do the next story. So, I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. Rufus Turner is not a Cleveland Steamers.
All right, I thought it was hella boring. I had trouble staying awake both times I watched it, so I'm going to go with 4 out of 10 Billy Dragos.
All right.
That gives the entire thing a 5.63,
wow,
which is average, and I felt like that's about right.
Yeah.
It was very, I think it's very fair. Average. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty average.
Right. Well, we've got a Noobentarian to do yet tonight that you'll hear next week. What is our assignment that we're going to be watching in a moment?
Our assignment is Season 3, Episode 16, which is the Season 3 finale, No Rest for the Wicked.
No Rest for the Wicked. Which means to, it seems to imply to me that no one's going to die at the end of this and get their rest, their final rest.
Well, no rest for the wicked, it says.
Yeah, that too, but...
Is that why I never get to sleep, is because I'm wicked?
I don't think Dean's going hellbound at this point.
No. I don't know.
Maybe he goes hellbound and he gets rescued from hell and he spends the rest of the series as a former hell
demon. I kind of thought that could happen, yeah. Because I'm not entirely sure that Sam is entirely human.
Yeah, there's that, I guess.
So...
I think he's just going to die and we're never going to see him again.
Aww. Wow. This is such a cute
There's the end of it.
Would you guys
just kidding. Know? He'll be fine.
All right. Well, we'll figure that all out. And we're going to hear about next week here our reactions to watching No Rest for the Wicked. So on behalf of everybody else, I'll say happy hunting.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Happy hunting.
You've been listening to IdgitCast from QuadrupleZ.com. Join the discussion at facebook.com/IdgitCast. We love feedback. You can email us or send us an MP3 voice message. Please use the episode title as your subject line to prevent accidental spoilers. Our email address is IdgitCastPodcast@gmail.com. The theme song for IdgitCast is by Borrowed Trouble. Find the band at BorrowedTrouble.com. Lyrics and vocals by IdgitCast's founder, Allie Jones, who you can find out all about at imthewonderband.com. The closing music you hear right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan, and is used by permission. You can find other music, writings, and discussions by Jack, as well as back episodes of his own Deadpan podcast at jackmangan.com. You can hear more from the hosts of this show. Yvette can be heard as one of the hosts of Investigating Mars, an intro cast for the TV series Veronica Mars, also available from QuadrupleZ.com. John Pavlich can be heard on CastleCast, a fan cast for the ABC series Castle at CastleCast.net, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at SofaDogs.libsyn.com. Now you can also watch the Sofa Dogs YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/SofaDogs. Darcy and I can also be heard on the Ghostlight podcast, an introcast for the television series Slings and Arrows, also featured on QuadrupleZ.com. Like this could never